Hi guys, welcome back to the podcast. It's me one more time coming to you. Not me recording the podcast the day after it's supposed to go live, but here I am. Even though it's gonna be a little bit late, but it's coming. I was just thinking, okay, I think I'm gonna invest in a mic. So that way I stay motivated to keep recording because I love making the podcast. But these past 2 weeks have been so hectic and busy that I've been kind of just like putting it to the side because my priorities have been making the orders and all of the things that have to do with the business. But anyways, nonetheless, I'm here and I've got an episode coming to you. But before we dive in, I wanted to check in and see how you guys are doing. Hi, it's summer. Hello. It's warm outside and it's nice and I'm wearing mini skirts, which I didn't think I was a skirt girl, but all like so many people said to bring some skirts to this new collection, and I made the linen skirt and I've literally been wearing it so much, which has surprised me because I didn't think I was a skirt girl, but look who it is now, I am. Anyways, I hope you guys are having an amazing summer thus far. It's just the beginning of it, and this weekend, starting tomorrow, I'm going to Primavera and I'm so excited because it's the first festival we're going back to, me and my friends, since what, 2 years ago, since COVID happened. But yeah, I'm super excited. It's literally one of my favorite festivals and I know it's gonna be so much fun. I haven't been partying for the past 2 months to literally save all of my energy for this festival. So it's gonna be amazing. And it's supposed to go from Thursday to Sunday, which is way too long, 4 days. No, we'll not be doing that. I'm only gonna be doing the 3 first days. I mean, I hope. We will see how I will manage as I get older and less energetic. But still, you know, it's the first festival in a while, so I'm hoping that my energy is going to pick it up again and I will survive and thrive. And I'm looking forward to the outfits that I'm gonna wear, which I don't know exactly what will be yet, but it's gonna be a lot of timeless essentials and all the cute fits that I have been making from the past collections. But yeah, mainly super excited to be wearing like the scarf, the linen set, just all of these amazing pieces. Anyways, so this past month has been insane. I don't even know how to describe it, but basically it's been so much success with the business, and it's been like, I guess, the first time, or maybe we can say not the second time, that there's been like a boom, an explosion, and it's been so exciting and overwhelming at times, but mainly so exciting. It's literally what I've always worked for. So here I am, 8 years in the making. Let me repeat it one more time. 8 years in the making. So for this episode, I kind of just wanted to talk about the whole journey, the journey of the entrepreneur, and just talk about the ups and downs and everything in between, because sometimes, you know, people might find myself on social media today and be like, oh my God, this girl, you know, she's like doing so amazing, but they don't see all the years, all the failures, all the downs and the doubts that happen, because you only see a small glimpse of it. So I kind of want to take you back th- through memory lane and just talk about the beginning and how it was when I started, how I started, and everything that has happened from now to, no, from then to now. Anyways, let's dive in. So, 8 years ago, like I said, there was something that happened to me that I think I've talked about before, but I'm just gonna say it one more time for those who have not heard the story. I went traveling. I was in Europe. I was living in Australia at the time, but I came to Europe for 3 weeks. And to paint the picture as accurate as it can be, I did Tomorrowland and I did Yacht Week, all these basic things. Lol. And right before I flew back to Australia, I had the mini stop in Amsterdam. And if you've never been to Amsterdam, if you don't really know this about it, but anyways, I found the best vintage shops in Amsterdam. Like, literally, the clothes there were so incredible and so unique. And I had been working a lot in Australia. I was making quite a lot of money just working at a cafe, but the minimum wage there is literally $20 an hour. So it's, and if you work weekends, it's like 25, and if you work Sundays, it's 30. Anyways, I was making like $1,000 a week, and I came to Europe bawling. So I went to Amsterdam and I decided to literally buy everything, that I saw that I liked. I bought so many vintage, amazing pieces that on my way back, I had no space in my tiny little backpack. And so did my friend buy a lot of stuff, and she also didn't have space in her backpack. So we decided, okay, let's just put all of our clothes in a plastic bag. So when I say suitcase, I really mean a big plastic bag. And let's just act like this is our luggage, and let's just like take it with us, and then I guess fly back with it to our homes. So we were flying back. I think we actually flew from Amsterdam to France, to Paris, and then it was from Paris to Singapore, and from Singapore to Sydney. And then from Sydney to the Gold Coast, where I was living at the time. So that's literally 4 flights, but yeah. Anyways, so I was flying back home with all my vintage finds. I had spent, I don't know, maybe $3,000-$4,000. And it was the first time in my life that I went on a shopping spree that big. And the whole flight there, the whole way there, I remember this so vividly. In the plane, flying from France to Singapore and then from Singapore to Sydney, all I could think about is that they were going to lose my suitcase. They're going to lose my suitcase. And I kept repeating this in my mind. They're going to lose my suitcase. They're going to lose my suitcase. They're going to lose my suitcase. I don't know what the fuck intuition I knew that, or maybe I manifested this for myself, but I kept repeating it so much that it was insane. And I was like, this is crazy. So when I arrived at Sydney Airport, when I realized that my suitcase was not arriving, I knew immediately that it was gone. I had already been thinking about it the whole flight there. So for me, it was no surprise. Okay, obviously it's not here. My friend's suitcase, must I say plastic bag, was there, totally fine with all her stuff, but mine wasn't. And yeah, I just basically knew immediately that it was never gonna arrive. I wasn't even gonna wait for it. I literally was like, I'm leaving. I'm gonna take my connection to the Gold Coast, and this is not arriving. It's lost, it's done. But the first thought in my mind was, I'm getting a sewing machine and I'm gonna start making my own clothes. It was like the most clarity that I've ever had. It was this thought that literally entered my mind. It was like, boom, I'm getting a sewing machine and I'm gonna start making my own clothes. in hindsight, I realized that what this meant for me, losing this suitcase, meant that I was going to finally get the chance to express this deep part of myself that I had been longing for a long time, my creative part that I hadn't even acknowledged that I had it for years. And I had been neglecting and dismissing thoughts that would come by of things like, oh, I really want a skirt like this. And then I would think, oh, I can probably make that. But then I would go and do something else. And then I remembered later on, oh, this was always inside of me. I remember having thoughts of wanting to buy something, but then immediately thinking that I could make it for myself, but then neglecting it. Anyways, I arrived back in my hometown. Well, not hometown, in the town that I was living, without my suitcase, without any clothes. I had basically taken every cute thing that I had. All the new things that I bought were gone. So I was like, okay, this is my opportunity to start from scratch, start fresh, and express myself. So I was secretly kind of excited, but it's like, who is this person? Who is this psycho bitch that's gonna be excited about losing their suitcase? Like, what? But anyways, I was excited because I was like, yes, finally. And then I also realized in hindsight that I was trying to become like everyone else. In Australia, there's a huge vintage culture. And I remember just looking at all these girls wearing all these vintage things. And I'd be like, oh my God, I wish I could be like them. And when I went to Amsterdam and I bought all these things, I was like, okay, finally, I'll be a cool girl like them and belong in the vintage fashion world. But then there was a bigger mission. There was a bigger purpose for me, which I'm so thankful for, because imagine that I would have just maybe settled for something that I just thought was cool because other people were doing it. Anyways, I bought this sewing machine from Gumtree. If you're from Australia, you'll know what this is. It's basically like, what is this in the US? What is this website in the US that you can buy? Oh, Craigslist. Yes, Gumtree is just like Craigslist. So I bought this sewing machine for $70 on Craigslist, and it was the oldest machine that you literally could get. And I don't even know why I would get such an old machine. So silly of me. But anyways, I got this super old machine that I barely even knew how to thread it. And it was difficult to find the information how, because it was so old. It was literally made in the 60s or something. Eventually, I figured out how, and I started making really basic things. Like, I would take a square of a fabric and I would sew the sides and I would make a skirt out of it with something to tie around the waist. And I would make tops like that. And I was making the most basic thing that you can imagine. And at this time, I was also struggling with a lot of things. I was busy doing some stuff like farm work and things, and I couldn't really put my undivided attention to making clothes. Eventually, it was time for me to come home. By home, I mean Canada, to move back home. And I was excited because I knew that I needed to changed something in my life, and going back home felt like the right move. But I wasn't gonna go back to Ottawa, which was where I had lived prior to moving to Australia. I wanted to try something new, so I wanted to move to Vancouver, which, if you don't know, it's one place is opposite of the other. It's like across the country. But first I went to Ottawa to meet my family and see my friends again. And my mom had an old sewing machine, well, not as old as mine, but kind of, I guess, new, but still kind of old. But anyways, it functioned a lot better. And I started using this machine. And throughout the time that I was there, I spent 2 weeks there. I went to Valley Village, which is a place where you can buy also vintage clothes is where people donate their clothes. And I bought a bunch of fabric, like pieces of fabric that I guess people would donate it to this place. And it was maybe 1 meter of this, 2 meters of that. And I started sewing endlessly. I think I spent the whole time there sewing, because now that I had this machine that functioned so much better, you couldn't get me out of the machine. And I just started making so much stuff. I made things for my mom, for my sister, for this, for that. I was making dresses and I was obsessed, obsessed. So it was time to move to Vancouver. And then at this time, I started really thinking, okay, I really love this. I really love making clothes. And I guess maybe I can turn this into a business. And the funny thing was that before, I never thought that I could pursue a career in anything that was creative or artistic, because nobody ever in my family or people that I knew were doing that. So I wasn't expanded to that idea, if I can call it that. But throughout that trip in Europe, when I lost the suitcase, I also met this young girl who was making jewelry, had a shop in Venice, and was super successful in her career as a jewelry designer, but was also super nice, fun, and cool. And I was like, shit, okay, I guess you can do something creative, be successful, be nice, have money, not be an asshole. And I was like, sign me up. Okay, not gonna get distracted. But anyways, because I had met somebody who was doing something creative successfully, I guess that kind of sparked the idea that once I realized I could make clothes, then I thought, okay, maybe this can be a business. And then I was like, okay, like, what am I gonna call it? And I literally spent like maybe 2 weeks thinking about the name that I was gonna call it. And I remember brainstorming with my friends, oh, your name is so cool, you should just call it your name. And I was like, no, I cannot call it my name. Like, so shy and embarrassed. Oh my God, like, who am I to think that I can have a brand that is my name? And I feel like at the beginning of when you make something creative or when you express a new part of yourself, it always comes with this fear that people are going to judge you. And I also realized again in hindsight, because this was not at the time, that losing the suitcase for me was the perfect opportunity to start doing something that I was longing to do for such a long time, but I was so afraid of what people are going to think. But to me, that felt like the perfect excuse. Okay, now I can start sewing. Nobody's going to question me. I lost my suitcase, I lost all my clothes, so here, perfect opportunity. Makes no sense, but to me it felt like that was my getaway, if I can say. Anyway, so I started sewing, I started making clothes, and I was making things here and there, and I started making stuff for my friends. Even sometimes I would literally bring my sewing machine to my friend's house and I would make them clothing there with them. And the anxiety and pressure that I felt, and I don't even know how I was putting myself through these positions, but then I remember thinking, okay, I'm gonna put myself through this really difficult thing, but I believe that I can do this. And if I can do this, then I'm meant to do this. Kind of like throwing yourself in the fire and see if you survive. And then if you do, you're like, okay, I'm meant to do this. It was really crazy. Something that I probably do not recommend if you're starting. Oh my God, but it was worthwhile. And every piece worked out. I think I did 3 pieces like that. I went to 3 of my friends' house, bought my sewing machine there, and made their clothing there with them. But yeah, everything worked out. And I started thinking, okay, maybe I can launch a collection. And I started thinking about ideas and blah, blah, blah. So I made a little collection. And oh, I mean, let's not forget, I found the brand's name that I was going to call it. And then it was called Culturella. Culturella. So Culturella, it was the mixture of me and culture. At this time, I loved traveling, so I thought, okay, this is gonna be perfect. My idea was to travel around the world, make different clothing, inspired by different cultures. And that's kind of where I was. Anyways, I made this little collection. I think there was probably 5 pieces or so. I don't know how long it took. Maybe it took like 6 months from the time that I started sewing to launching this collection. And I reached out to a friend who lived in LA, and I was like, hey, I just made this collection. I kind of love the vibe in LA. I kind of want to come down and shoot it. Are you down to do this work, like collab with me and do this together? And he was like, yeah, sure, I'm super down. So I flew to LA and I met with my friend who is a photographer, and we went to Joshua Tree and we took some photos, and it was all amazing. It was a super good experience. But then again, spending a lot of money without knowing where it was going to lead me. And at this time, I wasn't keeping track at all of anything that had to do with finances. So I wasted a lot of money, I will say. But everything, again, you learn with time. So lessons were learned. And I came back, I had the pictures, everything was amazing. And then I remember it was the day that I was gonna launch my website, and I was freaking out. I was so anxious, and I was working at the restaurant at the time. And I remember feeling so anxious, oh my God. And then I put the website live, and literally it was like crickets. No orders, another day, no orders, never any orders. I don't even think I received one order from that collection. I don't even think I received one. And I was so disappointed. It was so sad and discouraging, because you put so much love and effort into something and you think, okay, like I make this with love, so people are gonna buy it. And that couldn't be further from the truth. Literally further from the truth. And that was a big reality check for me. But still, I was like, no, I love this. I don't care. I'm going to keep going. And that's when I had the magical idea to quit my job, save a bunch of money, and move to Mexico to live my entrepreneurial dream life, traveling and making clothing inspired by different cultures. So I think I had maybe saved up $7,000 or $10,000. And then I also had maybe a $5,000 credit card or something. Then I was like, okay, with all this money, I will be good. Oh my God. So I worked for, I think it was 3 months straight nonstop to save up this money to go to Mexico and quit my job and become an entrepreneur. And I moved to Mexico, and quickly I started spending a lot of money making the collection and buying fabric and doing all of this and that. And I launched a new collection. This one was now inspired by Mexico. And again, there were no orders. No orders. And then there would be one order. Okay, something. I'm just like in real time processing that time, because it was so hard. It was so hard. I felt like a huge failure. And although I believed in what I was doing, it felt completely horrible. Because again, here I am putting my love and my passion towards this thing, and there's no success. There's no success. And I'm like, oh my God, I thought I was born to do this, but everything around me is telling me otherwise. And again, maybe I had like 10 orders in total the whole time I was there, almost a year or something. And as you can imagine, like, that was completely unsustainable. I was living off of my savings, and I was trying to create new clothing, which is requires capital. So basically everything started going sideways, to the point that my mom literally had to buy my flight back to Canada because I had no more money. I had maxed out my credit card and I was completely basically done. I failed and that was it. But there's something very important for me to mention at this time, that I knew why the business wasn't succeeding and why it never would if I had that mindset. I had been struggling with my body image for years before that. The whole time I lived in Mexico, it was basically my rock bottom when it came to my body image. I would be trying to make something and I would be thinking about how I disliked the way that I looked. So 85% of the days that I spent there, it was me being self-critical and thinking that I wasn't good enough, that I needed to change my body and this, I was too fat. And basically the whole time I was in a completely negative mental space. And I knew if I spend 85% of the day hating myself, I will never be successful. And I was also in I'm just gonna call it a fling, because it's not even a relationship anymore when I think back. I was in a fling with this guy and he dumped me twice. And when he dumped me the second time, I was like, you know what? Again, the reason why I'm in this position, not only my business is failing, but also I just put myself in a position where somebody would dump me twice. The only reason why I'm in this position is because I don't love myself enough. And I'm so freaking proud of myself for realizing at the time why this was happening to me. And instead of being a victim, I said, I'm only in this position because I do not love myself enough. If I love myself enough, I would never be in a position where somebody would literally dump me, not once, two times, and I wouldn't be in a position where my business is failing, because all I can think about is how much I dislike my body and I want everything to change. So I moved back to Canada, thanks to my mom for booking me that flight back and rescuing me from my rock bottom. Oh my God. And then I came back to Canada and I was completely depressed. I was so depressed. I felt like a huge failure. I wanted to hide. It was so hard. I still wanted to work making clothes or like sewing or doing something like that. I didn't want to go back to the restaurant. My old boss offered me a job. I said no. And I really wanted to stay at least making something that had to do with clothing or sewing. And I'm so glad that I stayed at least confident in myself that I could do that. And I ended up getting a job at the Fairmont Hotel as the seamstress of the hotel. And it was amazing. I loved it. It was so much fun. They paid me super well. And I was working there from Sunday to Thursdays, from I think it was from 8 until 4 or 4:30. And I was in my self-love journey. So I started my self-love journey when I moved there, and I got an apartment for myself and I was living by myself. And I would wake up every morning super early and I would do a 30-minute workout. And I think a lot of people know this girl who does these workouts, Kaylee Itsinis. She has a huge following on Instagram, and she went viral from these workouts that she would do. Basically, it was 7 minutes, and then 2 minutes pause, and 7 minutes, 2 minutes pause, and 7 minutes, 2 minutes pause, something like that. And I remember I would wake up, I would do her exercises, then I would meditate, then I would make my oats, and I would watch YouTubes about how to sew a corset, how to sew a dress. And I was kind of like in this, like, you know, this mode of like, okay, taking care of myself and taking care of my mental health. And my plan was always to move to Barcelona, but I went there kind of as a in between to pay off my credit card debt and save money to move to Barcelona. So throughout that time, I spent 8 months there. I was working Sunday to Thursday at the hotel as the seamstress of the hotel, altering uniforms, altering sometimes pieces that the guests would bring. It was super fun. I loved it. And then Fridays and Saturdays, I would work at a wedding dress shop, also altering wedding dresses. I think the first day working there, I literally had so much anxiety and I was so stressed. They not only altered dresses, but they also did regular clothing for their customers. And she gave me a task to change the strap of something, and I fucked it up. I made a hole in the top that this other seamstress, Pauline, which I love her so much, she taught me so much about sewing in this few time that I spent with her, and she barely could speak English. And like, we were just communicating. She literally saved my life the first day I make a hole in a fucking top. And yeah, that was like the beginning of that. So everything went uphill after that experience, but nonetheless, I was working every single day. And I was doing my morning routine in the morning, and then I would go to work. So every single day between these two jobs. And then I would also, yeah, basically just go to sleep super early at night and barely hang out with anyone. I think I was probably the most antisocial version of myself at this time, but I feel like that's what I needed at the time. And again, amazing, fun. I ended up saving, I think it was about maybe 8,000. I paid off my credit card, I saved 8,000, and I moved to Barcelona. So that was, yeah, 8 months after that. And when I moved to Barcelona, I was, you know, feeling good about myself. I mean, I was super excited, obviously, to be in a new city. And then when I moved here, I spent, I think, half of the money that I saved to get my fucking apartment, because at that time it was like hot. It was so fucking difficult to find a place here. And I got the shittiest place that you can imagine. But I got a place. And yeah, got a place. I spent all my money. I started like losing all the money. And then I was like, fuck. I guess I need to get a job. And I ended up getting a job at a restaurant, which was very disappointing for me because I had promised myself I would never go back to the restaurant industry. But then I was like, okay, I'll just suck it up while I'm here. I got this job at this restaurant and they literally treated me like garbage. And it was the most traumatizing working experience that I've ever had. To say the least, I quit crying the day, New Year's Day, I think it was, yeah, the day after New Year's Eve. They made me work from 3 p.m. until 6 a.m. and requested me to be there the next day at 1 and not pay me for any of the extra hours, because when you work on a salary, they don't count the extra hours that you're there. So basically, you're supposed to work 8 hours a day, but let's say there's people still at the restaurant and they're still eating and you have to stay 2 extra hours, no problem, you still have to work. And it was like that every single day. I would never get off on time and I would have to work endless hours, and they would be so mean. Okay, so anyways, had that experience, And it was very hard, and I quit. I was like, I can't do this anymore. I'm like left just like crying, and I was like, okay, I just gotta figure this out. So I was thinking, what could I do? What could I do? And then I thought about, okay, maybe I can do some babysitting jobs, hours here and there. So I started babysitting, and bear in mind, babysitting, obviously, I mean, you can get a regular job, but you sometimes have to pick the kids up from school. So you do some things in the afternoon and then maybe a few hours. So I was basically working maybe sporadically 10, 20 hours a week, making €10 an hour. And I was barely surviving. My bank would like constantly go in the reds. I had so much anxiety about money, like so much anxiety. Like my scarcity was through the roof. It was insane. I thought like maybe sometimes I wouldn't have enough money to pay the rent. It was just a mess. So that was 4 years ago, 4.5 years ago, when I first moved to Spain. And it took me some time, and then eventually I met some people who were teaching English online. And then I was like, okay, maybe I can teach English online. But that required having a bachelor's. And me, no, I quit school, so I did not have a bachelor's. But then I was like, my sister has one. How about I just change her name to mine and fake my bachelor's to teach English online? Okay, sketchy, I know, but it worked. So I got a job teaching English, and that's when things started shifting for me. So I was working. So this was maybe after 1 year of being in Barcelona, of having the horrible job at the restaurant, then babysitting for a few hours, barely struggling to pay rent. Well, struggling to pay rent, barely making any money. And then eventually getting the online teaching job, and then maybe after. Maybe after, let's say, I think it was maybe 6 months after that, then I started getting more stable. So I was teaching, working maybe 4 hours a day, and it was actually quite amazing because I probably was making about 1,000, 1,200 euros a month, and that's like a minimum salary here, but I was only working half of the time. So to make 1,200 to only work 4 hours was actually quite a good job here. So then that gave me the opportunity to start spending some time in thinking about making a clothing line again. So then I got a sewing machine and started, I guess, like making things, but I couldn't make things until I found a studio because when I started sewing at home with this machine, the neighbor downstairs complained. So basically, I couldn't sew at home, so I had to find a studio space, and I ended up finding a studio space, but at this time, I was also kind of living my best life. I had just fallen in love with Hilmar. We were like partying a lot. We were like having so much fun, enjoying the summer, going to like all these events. And that was kind of not my priority at the time. I guess I had been struggling so much to make ends meet. And then once everything was more stable after almost 1 year, you could say, then I was just enjoying it for a little bit. And then Hilmar ended up going to, I mean, not ended up going, he went to South America for 4 months, and I stayed in Barcelona, and we did this long distance. And while he was away, I started really, I guess, focusing on the business and the idea. And yeah, I kind of started having more time to, really trying to do something again because I realized, okay, I had moved here. I had been super discouraged and disappointed and felt like a failure from what had happened with Culturella, my first brand. But when I moved here, I knew I still wanted to pursue my fashion career. But I kind of had this mentality, okay, like I don't want to do social media, I just want to do word to mouth. Yeah, word to mouth, yeah. And then I kind of was just like, okay, maybe I'll just like make closer with my friends and this and that and see how it goes. But I did want to start again because I knew that that's what I loved and that's what was what felt right for me. And even though I was teaching and I quite liked it, but I knew it wasn't my passion, and sewing had been this love and I wanted to get back into it. So I got a sewing machine, and then I eventually got a studio where I could start sewing. And then it was Sydney's wedding and I started making her wedding dress. So that took almost a year, lol. And I basically spent almost 1 year making her wedding dress. Like, I'm not even joking. It was maybe a little bit less, but almost a year. So the beginning of my sewing back journey was basically making this wedding dress. And then I would make some stuff for myself as well. And that's when I started the Instagram again. But then at this time, I was like, okay, I want to get back on social media, but I want to do it different this time. I want to express all parts of myself. I want to share ups and downs. I want to talk about the difficult emotions that we feel. I want to talk my body image struggles. I just want to create a space where women can feel loved and seen, and I want to empower them with like beautiful clothing, and I want to make them feel beautiful. I just had a whole different vision and idea for what I wanted to do, as opposed to before. In my first clothing brand, I just wanted to make clothing that people would wear. But this time I was like, no, I want to create a community where women can feel like they belong and they can feel loved and seen. So it was just a total difference, I guess, a strategy, you can say. But it wasn't even a strategy, it was just a desire. It was just, I wanted to create a place where I would feel welcomed in. And I feel that with a lot of brands, you only see their products, but you don't really see the story of the designer, the creator behind it, and you don't really get to experience their struggles. All you see is just these beautiful things. But this is why I wanted to continue doing the podcast, because the podcast to me matters so much that I express these parts of myself that aren't the picture perfect that you maybe see on social media, because I want people to know that they can relate to me on a deeper level than just maybe this piece of clothing that they love that I've created. That was a side note. Let's go back on track. And then I started making clothing, and then I started with the blog, and then I started making things for myself. And anyways, things just started evolving very naturally and organically. And then COVID hit. Dun, 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 dun. Ah, COVID. So I couldn't make anything anymore. And then I had a lot of time for myself. And that's when I really had the time to focus on the other parts of the business that wasn't really only about the clothing. And that's when I really honed in on the aspect of the community, because I couldn't have the studio anymore to make the things. So at least I had the phone to connect with the women in my community. So I started just like reaching out to people, going to Facebook groups, connecting with other girls who were passionate about fashion and doing this and that. And I literally spent, I don't know, the whole time we're in lockdown, just talking to all these random girls who have now become such good friends of mine. And that's when I was like, okay, I really, 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 really love this. I love this part of making clothes, that this is connecting me to have these beautiful connections with women, which maybe I couldn't maybe have had if I didn't have this kind of platform where the clothing unite us, but it goes so far beyond that. And then I decided to create, I knew that I wasn't gonna make clothing inspired by culture anymore. Sorry, old me, but that was not gonna happen again. And I wanted to make pieces that people were going to invest in, that would last, that would be high quality, made sustainably in Barcelona, either by me. I mean, at this time I was just like, I'm gonna make everything, but I mean, actually no, with the white shirt, I also did get some help, and I reached out to this atelier who only makes shirts, and they helped me make the shirt, which was my first piece that I launched with the website Rafaela Santana, and that was kind of my rebranding. And I mean, yes, there were a few orders from the white shirt, but it wasn't that many, especially through the website. It wasn't that many because I think people really need to trust the person who they're buying it from, and they need to have people do buy clothing from people that they don't know, but I do think sometimes when maybe it's a more expensive product, then you just like, okay, like I really have to trust this person and this product that I'm buying, if I'm going to spend all this money, right? Which I think is totally fair, and the white shirt was quite expensive, so I could understand that. But anyways, I think at least I had made some investments to make it, but then I got that back. And even though it wasn't like a huge success, let's say, I mean, they're almost sold out now. So in the end, yes, but it took like a long time to sell everything. But I believe in it so much. I'm going to make them again because I only have the L size now. So S and M are sold out, and everybody who has it loves it. And it is truly an amazing piece. And I'm glad that that was kind of like the beginning of it. And then anyway, so that was like the white shirt. And then after the white shirt, I remember I didn't have a lot of money to invest in the next drop, but I still wanted to make something. So I ended up buying the dead stock fabric that I got to make summer staples. And that was my next collection, which were only 4 pieces. 1, 2, 3, 4. 4. So I went from 1 to 4. So that was actually quite exciting because when I launched Summer Staples, I actually got a few orders and I was like, oh my God, okay, maybe I meant to do this. And it was really nice because, you know, so many girls from the community supported, and I felt like, okay, you know, people dig this. And that's when I launched the tank top, which, you know, till this day, it's also like a huge success, one of the best sellers. And that really, you know, that made me really happy, and that really kept me super motivated for the summer. And that was in April. And then summer came around. I was thinking, okay, I really want to make a new collection, and I wanted to make something with bamboo. And I was looking for bamboo fabric for literally 2 months, and I couldn't find it in the right colors and the neutrals that I wanted until eventually this day happened that I found bamboo in the neutral colors that I've been looking for. And then I was like, oh my God, yes, I found the bamboo fabric. And then before the bamboo arrived, I was working with the fabric made of cotton that was kind of similar. And that's when I kind of designed Elevated Basics, which was a 10-piece collection. And it was so cool, so many like new things and all the reversible things. And that's when the reversible thing about the brand kind of really, really, really took off, because a lot of the pieces, I think almost all of them, maybe except two, were reversible, versatile, that you could wear one, like 3, 4, 5, 6 different ways. So that was super cool. And then I collaborated with one of my friends who I had met through building the community through lockdown, and I sent her the tank top, and she fell in love with the tank top, posted so many pictures, so many videos. One of her videos, I think not only one, but a few of her videos ended up going viral. And that's when there was a huge boom in the business. So I launched Elevated Basics. I think it was the same time that her videos went viral, and it was the biggest success I had ever had up until that point. So that was super exciting. And I remember one day, oh my God, I could start crying. Oh my God, I could start crying. It was one day, it was a Saturday, and I remember I woke up and I think I had one order, and then I was like, oh my God, this is so exciting. And then I think I took a shower and got out of the shower, and there was 2 more orders. So then there was like 3 orders in like a very short amount of time. And then I remember just like crying so much, and I'm like so emotional right now, but I remember crying so much because like I had gotten 3 orders this day, and I probably had made like more money than I had ever made before in one day, building, you know, this business and pursuing this career. And prior to that, I had been getting orders every day, and then it was like more orders. And I was just like, I'm so glad I never gave up. I'm so glad I never give up, because there were so many moments throughout this journey that I felt like I maybe wasn't in the right place, or maybe it wasn't something that I was supposed to do, because I had put so much effort and love into making things, and I still couldn't, you know, contribute to maybe paying the rent, or I still felt like I wasn't where I was supposed to be. But then again, it's like, you know, everything happens its own timing. But anyways, there were so many times where I felt like maybe I'm not supposed to do this, you know. But I remember at that time just thinking, all I could think about was, I'm so glad I never gave up, because I never would have known this feeling. And yeah, like that gave me so much motivation. And I was like, okay, I think I'm really, 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 really supposed to do this. And I felt super excited. And then after that, I ended up having, I knew I wanted to do the tracksuits, but in between I launched the bags, which was also a little bit successful in its way. I ended up selling like a few bags, which I was like super happy about that. But then it was the tracksuits. But for the tracksuits, I didn't have enough money to make them. And I mean, because yeah, I was making money, but I was only making enough money to pay, you know, the studio rent, pay this, pay that, like pay the things that I needed to pay to be able to just like survive as a business. So I wanted to make the tracksuits, but I didn't have that initial capital to be able to make it. And then we ended up receiving an investment from Hilmar's old friend, and he invested 2,000 euros, and with that money basically we could make the tracksuits. And it took forever. I think it took 3 months. It took November, December, January, and we launched it in February. So that's literally almost 4 months. It took 4 months to make the tracksuit, but in this time it was winter time. So I was basically waiting, like Elevated Basics was a summer collection. So I wasn't really selling a lot, and it was kind of like, okay, I'm waiting for the tracksuits. And like, I had kind of put all my eggs in one basket. And it was December last year, so this is like really not long ago. And it was the beginning of the year, and I was like, okay, well, I'm waiting for the tracksuits. They're not ready. I don't know how I'm gonna pay rent this month. Like, I don't know how I'm gonna make ends meet. And I was kind of getting a little bit anxious about everything. And nonetheless, something magical happened, I guess. Like, I think I talked about this actually on the podcast before, so I'm not gonna go too much into details, but I think I talked about how I manifested the store. But basically, a huge part of it was seeing that there were new opportunities, but also a really grateful moment for my friends Sydney and Stain and Rose, who ended up investing some money in my business. And with that, I was able to open the store. And I remember, because obviously before things come to you, you don't see it coming, right? So I was thinking like, shit, how am I gonna pay the rent this month? And then eventually my friend's like, hey, like I got some money, like I want to invest in you. And then like my other friend said the same thing, and I was like, oh my God, this is incredible. You know what I mean? I just felt like, okay. And then I asked them, is it okay if I take this money that you're investing to open a store? And they were both super down. They're basically like, you do whatever you want to do with the money, I'm investing in you, you choose. But anyways, okay, just a pause to thank these two beautiful ladies, Sydney and Stainers, who have invested in the business and who have literally made all of this success that I'm experiencing possible. So a big shout out to you guys. Just a little side note in between. So they ended up investing, and I was able to open the store. And when we opened the store, that's when we launched the tracksuits. It was basically the store open, launched the tracksuits, and it was a huge success. Woo! Thankfully. Thankfully, it was a huge success, and yeah, it was amazing. And then the store was doing quite good. I mean, it was still not tourist season in Barcelona, but yeah, like at least the store was a huge addition to the income stream from the business, and yeah, things started looking brighter and brighter. And then after that, it was time to think about the summer collection. So there was a little break in between there. You know, tracksuits were doing good at the store, and then I was like, okay, now time to think about the next drop. And that's when I started thinking about timeless essentials. And I knew that I needed to do something with linen, and I knew I still had to, not had to, I still wanted to make some tops with the bamboo fabric, make some reversible tops, and I wanted to add some silk scarves. So I really had the idea in my mind since sometime, and it maybe took me like 1 month to materialize everything. So I worked 1 month on that collection. I remember doing all the polls and the stories, and everybody was helping me think of new ideas. And basically, what Timeless Essentials launched end of April, April 30th, and it's been my most successful collection by far. And I'm so grateful and I'm so happy. And I mean, I wanted to do this podcast because I wanted to you guys to see like the journey of everything that has happened for me to get here. Like I said, the first collection I launched, there were zero orders. Zero. There were never any orders. Never. Zero. And okay, 8 years later, here I am. You know what I mean? So everything takes time, and sometimes we underestimate how long something can take. But think about it. Like, imagine I would have given up when I started, and I would have thought, okay, no, clearly I'm not meant to do this. I'm a failure. But I kept going. I kept going and I kept going and I kept going, and miracles kept coming to me, and friends have supported and have come to my life like angels, literally like angels. These people, they're angels in my life. And I've been able to then get to this point where I am today. And it's like, it's just for me, it is the ultimate reassurance that everything takes time, and if you just keep going, anything is possible. I never imagined that I would be able to make, I guess let's make, but I never thought that I would be able to make as much or receive as much financial abundance as I've just received in the past month, 8 years ago when I started. But it's so, I think that's the most rewarding part of the entrepreneurial journey, is that just when you believe in yourself and you take one step at a time and you keep going, when you get to the place where you've always dreamt of, you don't think about, okay, well, me personally, this is my experience now. I'm not like, oh, okay, here I have all of this. I'm thinking about all the times that I could have given up, but I still pursued it and I still kept following my dreams. I'm not thinking, okay, today I'm successful and I'm happy. And I'm like, no, it's a different energy. I'm just like, I'm so fucking proud of you for not giving up, because you had every right to do it, but you kept going. And that's what gives me the most joy today. I've never had as much financial abundance, but I've never felt just more proud of myself for just believing in myself and keeping going even though times were hard. So maybe if you're listening and you have a dream or you want to do something in your life, but maybe you feel like you've tried it and it hasn't succeeded, this is me reminding you that even if you feel like a failure, you're not. If you take every single thing that happens to you that you perceive as a failure, as a lesson, as something you can learn from, you can grow from that experience. And I'm the living proof of that. And I think that so many people can achieve so much more with their lives, but they don't do it because they give up so easily and so quickly. Think about it. 8 years in the fucking making. Like 8 years in the making. That's a lifetime. That's a lifetime. And imagine experiencing a lifetime of just, you know, not much success and a lot of discouragement and disappointment, but keeping going. And then eventually, you know, what is meant for you will come to you. And I believe that so wholeheartedly. And I think that if you have been following me for a while, if you've been listening to the podcast, if you've been just watching me grow, I think you also can know that for yourself and see, okay, maybe I can also do something that I love. Maybe I don't have to settle for a job. Maybe I can fail at something at the start, but maybe if I keep going, I can also achieve my dreams. And that's really the message that I wanted to hone in on this podcast today, is that even though it may be so hard and things are gonna look like they're falling apart and you're gonna have so many difficult moments, there is always something brighter at the end of the tunnel, and you just gotta keep believing in yourself. And if you do that, and if you continue over and over again, you will never know what's on the other side. I would have never known that I could have been here in this moment in time if I just would have believed that I was a failure when everything looked like a failure in front of me. But then somehow I was like, okay, one more step. Let's just take one more step. Let's change the direction. Let's do this. Let's clean my mental health. Let's take care of myself. And yeah, it's been a really roller coaster journey of emotions. I felt everything that you can imagine throughout this entrepreneurial journey, from the darkest of the darks to the happiest of the happiest and the most fulfilled emotions. But that is the ride. That is the experience. You can't have one without the other. And then if I didn't feel like I was a failure, maybe I wouldn't appreciate the success that I have today as much. If it would have come easy to me, maybe I wouldn't feel this gratitude that I feel today, you know? So I hope that if you're listening and if you have a dream, if you want to pursue something in your life, that you will, and that you'll listen to this, and that you'll remember that even if times get hard, there's always a light at the end of the tunnel. And if you just keep going, you will never know what's on the other side. So you may as well try. I love you. And I'm so grateful for you. If you literally listen to this whole episode, I fucking love you. So until next time, I love you. And I'm wishing all the best for you.